I can only talk to you for a few minutes, and I'm and Miss Kay and I are going to get on the road real quick. I only a few minutes, but I wonder. The Lord is so worthy. Can I put this down? I feel like I'm like. Do you know how to do this? Thank you. The Lord is so worthy. Sometimes we hang on to things in our lives. We hang on to them for our own security. That's what keeps us safe. That's what we think. But when I think about how worthy the Lord is, I wonder what we're willing to get up because of how worthy he is and what he's done for us. What am I really willing to give up in my life? Do you know that nothing can separate us from the love of God? That should be written across the front of your Bible to remind you that each morning. Maybe across your prayer schedule. I hope you have your prayer list that you pray about every single day. Every year, I start my prayer list all over again. Because I can get lazy. Yeah, I got it all memorized. I start from scratch, and I write my husband's name at the top. And I say, Lord, it's a new year. You've got new things for us. Where do I start praying for you, for him? And the Lord gives me things throughout the year that I write down. And I write my son's name on there because every year he's growing and he's changing and he's getting married and things are going wonderful in his life. And I say, Lord, what do I pray about for John this year? Then I write Christina's name down. God, what do you want me to pray in Christina's life? She's gone through some sorrows in the past. How can I help her get through those sorrows as a mother-in-law? I'm excited. I've only had one daughter and now I have three. It's so fun at Christmas. I buy three things of everything. It's been a lot of fun. Then I write Brandon's name down and God, what do I pray about for him this year? His life really has changed and God keeps doing wonderful things for him. Then I write his wife's name down, Christina. Lord, where do I start with Christina? She was raised in an evangelist home, traveling all across America. And now she's sitting still. She's not out singing and doing stuff, and she's serving the Lord with her husband. What do I need to pray about in her life? Then I write down Ashley's name. Wow, where do I start with that one? My daughter's a little go-getter. Where do I start with that? And then I added her new husband, James. Well, her only husband, her first only one, sorry. The one hopefully she's going to keep forever. I write James down. And I said, Lord, I'm getting to know James. I've only known him about 2.5 years. And what does he need in his life? But you know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And you need to write that on your prayer sheet or in the front of your Bible to remind yourself that nothing can separate you from the love of God. I feel like I know you all, though I've just met really pretty well most all of you today. But you know what we all have in common today? The love of God and how good God has been to us and the wonderful things he's done for us in the past and what he's going to do for us in the future. And I'm just going to talk to you a few minutes about something that we all struggle with, whether we're 10, whether we're 20, and probably when I hit 80, I'll still be struggling with it. But it's about insecurity. We all struggle with insecurity, a little bit of insecurity in our lives. It can stifle our life. It can stifle my insecurity, can stifle my husband's life. My insecurity can stifle my daughter and my daughter-in-law's lives. And I wonder, after everything that the Lord's done for us on the cross and how he suffered for us, that a lie that Satan plants in our heart, and I'm going to go real quick and show you four lies that Satan sends our way. So you don't have to look at your papers. I'll tell you when to get there. But the first one is that God is not enough for us. God isn't. I hope that you'll write this. You know, if my Bible is filled, and my Bible's only a few years old, so that's why I'm telling you to write in your maps. I hope you write in your maps because you're not going to lose your maps as part of your Bible. But you know what? That God is not enough. All day long, I want to inhale and exhale the Word of God and everything I speak and say. I heard this great ministry has a radio station, and it's probably online. It probably has an internet connection like ours. So in ours, you can go to 88.1 WBLW, and you can hear it all over the world. But I wonder sometimes that we put on other music or do things we shouldn't be doing when we need to be inhaling and exhaling the Word of God. The devil's primary tactics in our life is through discouragement, being easily offended, feeling of condemnations, bitter at each other, judgment, and fear. And Satan studies your patterns. I'm just jumping into the lesson because I only have a few minutes, so I hope that you'll bear with me. That Satan studies your patterns. If you're a woman of discouragement, he knows when that time of year that you're going to be discouraged. He doesn't understand, but God doesn't understand, but Satan knows what you fear. So my husband and I, okay, real quick here. I got to keep my I ride a Harley, okay? I'm just going to tell you that. You're going, you ride a Harley? Uh-huh. I do. My husband has a motorcycle, and I get on it with the little black skirt, and I hop on, but I got really cool boots, leather coat, hat, gloves. I match my husband, okay? We are in well, he doesn't have a black skirt on, but he's got the Harley. I got everything else leather that goes with it. You say, how in the world did you do that? Because my husband needed me to do that with him. He needed me, the first time I got on it, I was in like blue culottes and little white tennis shoes, and he gets off and he goes, don't you ever wear that again on my Harley Davidson. I'm like, sorry, you know? Really, were you insecure me looking like that? He goes, yeah, that's not cool. You ever watch a motorcycle guy go downtown in front of all the stores and they look at themselves in the windows when they're driving by? Yeah, that's what my husband does. I go, ahead and look in the window, look at yourself as they're driving by the window. I do that because he needs me to do that with him. And at first, I didn't like to do that. But I wonder, even though you might think, well, is he insecure if you're not on the back with him? No, but he sure loves me on the back of that motorcycle with him. Last night, when he went riding, it was 57 degrees outside. So he put his long johns on. And he got geared up and he said, oh, I wish you were with me. He was texting me. I can't wait till you get home. I'm thinking, I'm not riding when I get home unless it warms up. But, you know, I wonder how much of our own complexities, I heard Ms. Kay spoke on unforgiveness, all the different things that we deal with in our life that creates insecurity in our children and in our husbands' lives, insecurity in our husbands' lives. One of my favorite absolutely passages, and you're going, yeah, everybody knows it, everybody can quote it, is Psalms chapter 23, because it says, and the Lord changed my life with this chapter a few years ago. The Lord is my shepherd. That means he watches over me. He cares for me. And then it goes to say, I shall not want. Can you write in your Bible next to that, he satisfies me? I hope the Lord satisfies you with everything in life. I hope that you're easily satisfied. But I just want to jump into, I'm going to skip all that, and I'm going to jump into, because I just got a few minutes. And so take out your papers about insecurity. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time and bless this time. Amen. It's like an invisible birthmark. Philippians 3:3 is you can only find your confidence in Christ. We all know what we're insecure about. Maybe you're insecure about your past. Maybe you're insecure about some things that happened to you. Maybe you're insecure because you don't drive the right car. Or maybe you're insecure because you don't think you've got the right shoes on. Did you ever, if you have teenage girls, how many times do they change before they finally get the right thing? And there's a lot of clothes on the floor because it was multiple outfits before they got what they wanted. Did you ever go to church some Sunday morning and not really feel good about yourself? And then you came back Sunday night and you were a different outfit and you felt just totally fine. Raise your hand. You're insecure with what you had on. Those are lies that the devil plants into our heart and into our lives. A few years ago, when all my kids were older teenagers, we went to a town, which I'm going to fly in later tonight, called Traverse City. And in Traverse City, President Bush was going to come. And so my kids were into political. They were helping different people trying to get elected great Christians in our area and that are really making a difference for the Lord. So they got some free tickets, and there was 8,000 tickets available. So they were able to get some tickets and some other teenagers and adults in our church. And, of course, Dad was out of town, so what does Mom do? Mom gets to go along and gets to drive all the kids, and Mom gets to hang out with all the teenagers, and it's just a great time. But that means we were leaving the house like at 5:30 in the morning, because we had to wait and we had to stand in line. Once we got to our positions, we had to stand there for 8 hours. 8 hours we stood for President Bush. And so I was like, is this really worth it? Oh my goodness. Well, if my kids thought it was worth it and they wanted to see great Christians do great things in our government today, I said, that's worth it, because I want to believe in what they believe in. And so I stood in there, and we'd take each other's spots, and one would run to the restroom, or one would go get a Coke, and we'd stand there, and we stood there for 8 hours. Well, you know, the black helicopter lands, it's like you're on a big old TV show, and you've got the guys in the black, and they're talking, and everybody's running around, and I'm like, this is really great, and the big music comes on, and it's awesome. It's like you're on some helicopter down show, I'm not really sure, and you're looking around going, this is what it's like, and everybody's cheering, you know. And I'm like, this is great. We got front row. We're front row. And so I'm like, this is great. Okay, and everybody's cheering. But the crowd starts moving closer and closer. And Yeah, and President Bush gets off, and they've got security around, and the cloud starts moving closer and closer, and it gets tighter and tighter, and somebody comes out, and President Bush starts walking out, and the crowd goes to shake his hands, only they push me. I fall. I fall onto the stage. I fall right into President Bush's arms. I scratch my leg. I'm like this, hi. Hi. Wanted to shoot myself. As insecure as I am, he's holding me and I say, my husband loves you. That's what I say to President Bush. My husband loves you. He goes, ma'am, that's very nice. Tell your husband I said hello. As the black security guards were picking me up and my sons were just hoot, they were having a hoot, you know. They thought that was the best, that, you know, people were taking pictures. It was just really great. And so I don't know who the people were behind me that pushed me, but they pushed me. I was insecure when I was, I've never really been in another man's arms. That was really interesting. But I just looked in his face and he looked at mine and I was insecure and I didn't know what to say. I didn't want to say thank you for everything you've done in our great country. And I just go, my husband loves you. And you know what? My husband did love him or does love him. But you know, we do, that might be funny, but we do crazy things when we're insecure. We say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do. We go places we should have gone because we're insecure. So let's take out those papers. I'm going to give you a few fill in the blanks. Is don't let God love you. Don't let God love you when you're at your limit. Philippians 3:3 is your confidence is in Christ. Knowing who you are in Christ should lead you to confidence. Let me give you a few fill-in-the-blanks. Then we're going to jump to the back, which is the most important. So hang on tight. Look at your little friends, neighbors, because I'm going to jump right through the fill-in-the-blanks. And I did all this so you can take it home and study it during your devotions or read it on some morning when it's thundering and lightning outside and you're thinking of me and read your Bible and go over some of this. A sense of doubt. This is some characteristics. An uncertain about your basic worth or place in life. Your lack of confidence in others, you have a loss of relationship because of insecurity, because somebody's pride gets in the way. All of us have pride. All of our pride gets in the way. And some at some time in our life, there's a loss of relationship because of pride. Anxiety about relationships. We draw our approvals from others instead of from God. That's why we have anxiety about relationship. Skip down to the next fill in the blank. Instability in the home, maybe because of unfair circumstances. You're opinionated. Your friendship is all about you, not about others. Your turmoil from unmet expectations. Now you don't trust God and you don't trust others, and that's when you become the woman that it's all about me. If I feel like going there today, if I feel like going to church, if I feel like doing it, that life has become all about you. The battle is hard enough, yet we sabotage ourselves with self-condemnation and the drowning of our own spirits, and now we become control freaks, determining our own destiny, and that is women who live in caves. My husband recently preached a message about get out of the cave. All of us, especially women, maybe certain times every 28 days, we hide in caves, depending what day it is. Even in our minds, it's our mind will hide in caves, will run the other way, and that's where Satan desires to put you. Insecurity is a stronghold. If you skip down to that, a loving marital relationship, what it stifles, you're easily offended. You can't have great peace and love thy law, it says. If you love the word of God, you love the Lord, that means you cannot live an offended life. This is how I don't live an offended life. This is how I've done for years. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. God, every day and throughout the day, I say, Lord, I shouldn't have said that. Lord, I shouldn't have done that. Lord, I really should have done that. I was living in a cave in my mind for a minute there. And God says, I forgive you. He doesn't hold you hostage because of your sin, because of your sorrows, because of your fears, or unmet expectation. He forgives you. But we are putting ourselves above God if we don't forgive other people. You are saying now, I'm better than God. Because when that person goes home, God's going to forgive them. He forgave all their sins at the cross. That's why he died on the cross. And you're putting yourself above God. And I surely don't want to put myself above God. So that's why I cannot live an offended life. Because God, every day, in his mercy, forgives me. The next fill in the blank is nurturing of parental guidance for your children. It stifles that stronghold. Spiritual gifts, I could go into that. It makes you unproductive for Christ. Friendships accosted. Don't let your disappointments in others cloud your view of Christ every day. And emotional stability comes from spiritual security. It's at the bottom. Hello. Emotional stability. If I'm emotional stable, it's because of my spiritual security. It comes from reading the Word of God every day. Learn who you are in Christ. I'm just going to literally give you the fill in the blanks. I'm not going to read it because I want to get to the back page. But if unrealistic expectations, now you hold others at arm's length because they've hurt you. A loss of a constant terror, terror of a loss, you become fearful. That's a whole other thing I could talk to you. Women fear way too much. Clouds our vision. We have twisted perceptions. That's because we listen to our old nature instead of our new nature. Jump all the way down. Constant questioning other motives. Just take people at face value. If you live a complicated approach to life, if you're afraid to try new things because of failure, do not let what you're going through define who you are. Let your sorrows or some things going on in your life. I pray that they'll use that so that you'll become a much better Christian. Let's go how to have the healing process. You can read this later. You could start at the top. I'm going to jump down to the fill in the blank, so I hope you'll read it later. I'm just doing this so you've got something to take home and study. Is set modest goals and truly attain them. Realize who you are through Christ, not of yourself. I am nothing without Christ. Realize that my life is not about me, it's about others. Catching others doing right and promote their greatness. And then, of course, the great mind sanitizer, and I'm a sanitizer guru. Is there anybody else at Bath & Body? Yeah, you change it because of seasons. You always got about 10 at home and you're switching them around. Is the Word of God. The Word of God is so powerful that it can cleanse your heart. It can cleanse your mind of your past sorrows, your past circumstances. Finding true peace. And it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The only way you can find that is through the Word of God. And it says, but where do you start? To which that ye are called in one body. And this is where you start in Colossians 3:15. How do I find a peaceful life? You start with being thankful every day. That's step number one, is you start with living a thankful life. Nurture your heart with thanksgiving. Praise him continually. Be a giver of charity. Pray continually. Your confidence is in Christ. And then if you go to the very last page, I want you to take it home and figure some of this stuff out and learn from the Word of God. But think about your perception. Our perceptions are not always accurate. I could say probably 99 times they're not accurate. And the very first one, and I've got this down in number 3, but I want you to write it in your Bible so you can go over it every day. These are lies that Satan fills your heart and your mind with as women. Not, you know, men really don't go through that. I'm the emotional person in my family so I can care and love my children. If my husband was emotional, I was emotional, it'd be a crazy family. He's got to be steady. Number one is nobody likes me. You see that number under 3, number 1? You can be 80 years old and have 50 grandchildren, and you could be sitting at home just because you're all there by yourself, and you're sitting there going, thinking, nobody likes me. That's a lie that Satan plants in your heart through guilt and condemnation of the past or loneliness. Number 2 is nobody loves me. And that how you arrive, you can be driving around the road and you go, nobody even texted me today, through fear and worry. You think nobody likes you. Others doubt my motives. Satan accuses you to yourself. And then the fourth one, that God is not enough for me and my circumstances. You create your own reality each day by the choices that you make. I create my own reality each morning, what I'm going to have for breakfast. I create the reality by noon. I create every choice. I create my own reality every day by the choices I make. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And how do you keep your mind on Christ? How many of you have iPhones or you can download apps? Raise your hand really high. Come on, even if you're older, you got to get into this because the world is changing. So I want you to write down the Bible Is. It's an app that you have to get. It's called the Bible Is. And then once you go to the Bible Is, go to the KJV version. You can choose all the different versions. Go to the KJV version and then go to the drama versions. Us girlfriends, sometimes we're all about drama. It happens around us. Girlfriends are about drama. And you say you want the Word of God in your heart more, then you take your iPhone or your iPad and you put it up to the backsplash of your sink. And it sounds off like a speaker. And you listen to the Word of God dramatized. And you scroll down once you download that and you go to the book of Esther. And you hear the book of Esther read to you in a drama version. Then you go to the book of Ruth. I listen to the book of Ruth every single day. You'd be surprised how much you can memorize the Word of God. I love the book of Ruth. Bible in, Bible out. Whatever we inhale, we're going to exhale. Whatever we inhale, we're going to exhale in our lives. So I hope you'll download that, thebibleis.com. You'll be able to listen to the Word of God while you're in the shower, turn it up really loud while you're dusting, whatever. You can get more of the Bible into your heart. It can cleanse your mind. It can cleanse your mind from guilt and condemnation, from fear and worry, from Satan accusing you to yourself. And when you think, which a lot of women think, that God is not enough. Yet he gave us the Word of God. All we have to do is open up and realize that God is enough for our circumstances. I got saved when I was a younger girl, and the Lord was so wonderful and put me in a great Christian home, and the Lord was good to me at that, but I made that decision whether or not to accept Christ as my Savior. That was a decision I made. My daughter, when she was young, kept going to our song leader and kept telling him week after week, I want to get saved, but my mommy and daddy won't let me. And after about 3 weeks, the song leader came to my husband and said, Ashley wants to get saved, but we won't. Why won't you let her? And my husband says, the only thing is she wants to get baptized. She doesn't care about being saved. She just wants to go for a swim in the water. She's not going to get saved yet. And 2 weeks later, I think she really got it. But you know what? I made a decision that day. It was a commitment I made, and God made a commitment with me to take me to heaven, to forgive all my sins, and to become a part of my life and to change things in my life with the Word of God. And then you've made that decision to be baptized and maybe join a church, but you've made commitments. You made a commitment and a vow for those of you women who have gotten married. I hope today, as we've set ourselves apart from the world, that you've made a decision in your heart. Maybe something Miss Kay wrote down, spoke to you about, or maybe something that you've heard today, and it's like a declaration. When I decided I'm going to change some things in my life, I wrote them in my Bible. I wrote today's date, just like when I got saved, and I declared that I was going to stop worrying. I was going to start forgiving, because God every day forgives me. Because you can go back to those things easy. It's just like when you're on a diet. And there's nothing in your house. My husband called me last night. He goes, there's no junk food. And I go, I know. No kids live here anymore. We're eating right. He goes, seriously? He goes, what about the back closet? And I go, go check. There's nothing back there. You know when you're on a diet and you go through all the drawers just looking for that one little piece of chocolate to make you feel better? Yeah. Then you find it. But you're going, oh, man, I got to start over again. And then you're mad you ate it, and you're running up and down the stairs trying to burn the calories off, and you're doing all this stuff. Oh, I can burn these 102 calories off. Maybe today you should declare to be a better wife. You're going to be good, better to your husband. You're going to complete him. It's about his schedule, not my schedule. It's about me honoring him. Remember, I'm part of him, and will he answer for me someday? Maybe you're going to say, I'm going to invest more in my children or my grandchildren. I'm going to give out worrying. I'm going to start knowing that when I feel unloved, it's condemnation that the devil's sending my way. So if you could bow your heads, if you could sing that same song again and close your eyes. Lord, what do you want me to change in my life today? We spent way too many hours together today for us not to make one decision of the day. next year you're going to have another ladies' conference. But I hope, like, over 10 years, oh, yeah, they were great and fun, but what did I change in my heart and in my life? That I could be better what God wanted me to be. Ask the Lord what that is, or in your heart, you know what it is. Pull out your Bible and write it down and put today's date on it. Say, I am going to change this about me.